Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the A-List with me, Jennifer Lindsay. Every week we chat with an influencer to see what makes them tick. And today, Thursday, November 5th, 2009, I am delighted to be joined by Anne Glenn, who is Senior Web Producer, Social Media at Sony Pictures Imageworks Interactive. Welcome, Anne.
Hello.
And I didn't mess up your title.
I know. It's so long.
Amazingly enough. Thank you for making time to be on the show.
Well, thank you.
I'm really glad to have you. Folks out there might know you from your Twitter handle. You're pretty popular on Twitter, and it's URL GRL girl, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you are putting two and two together, that's who Anne is. But I want to start, Anne, with your journey, because you've been, you know, you're an expert. You've been doing this a while. And you've
forever.
Been in the interactive space forever. So let's start at the beginning with your journey. How'd you get started in interactive media?
Well, I've been online forever, it seems like, since probably 89 or so. I was working at a record label, and I was showing bands like Pearl Jam and Steely Dan and things like that how to pull up BBS stuff on for message boards and what people are talking about on them. And then it just sort of turned into building band like websites, and then I got a job in interactive building actual websites for House of Blues, doing promotions online, and I saw a job listing one day for Dawson's Creek, and I'm like, I love that show, and so I fell into actually building out DawsonsCreek.com and Dawson's Desktop for years, and now I've been at Sony for 10 years, so I sort of fell into it, but it's always been a passion of mine.
And I saw that you were at the Paley event, right, for
the Dawson's
Creek.
Dawson's Creek.
You want to talk a little bit about that?
I'm not only did I work on Dawson's Creek for six full seasons of the show, I got the job because I'm a fan of Dawson's Creek. And so there was a huge event last night for the DVD release. They're doing a box set DVD release for November 10th. And the cast was there doing interviews and things. And so it was nice because I actually got to meet It was nice to meet the cast again and the producers of the show, but for me, the fun part was actually meeting the fans, because it was fans that I used to talk to on a daily basis when I ran the Dawson's Creek community. And so it was like a mini reunion of fans, which was the best part. I love talking to the fans. That's,
Yeah, and it seems like that would be an interesting kind of collision, because I would imagine when you say talking, you probably mean online talking in person.
It was people that I had talked to years ago and I'd never met in person. And
wow.
It was really great to finally meet them in person, and then they knew me by my message board name because I was the moderator on the boards, and they knew I was the creator of the site and everything. But they, as soon as I said, "Oh, I'm Eve," they're like, "Oh my God, Dawson's Creek, I used to talk to you all the time." So it was great.
Any particular anecdotes from last night that you wanna share? Like special behind the scenes?
It was just, it was interesting that they don't want to do, they feel like they've wrapped the show up. So they they don't want to do another, a reunion episode. And it was interesting that the fans don't want that either, because they feel like the show is wrapped up as well.
Interesting. I always wonder about that, because
they want to bring it back. We want to see them again, and they're like, "Well, we're done." When the series finale ended, it actually ended as if it was 5 years in the future.
Yeah.
And so they felt like, okay, this is wrapped up, and it was interesting to hear from everybody involved that everybody was in agreement that it was wrapped up really well.
Good. Yeah, my favorite character died, so it wouldn't have been that
Jen.
Fun for me.
But
my
namesake. They said that, Jen at the beginning was the catalyst that brought everybody together and to change. So Joey and Dawson's relationship changed, and Pacey's relationship with Dawson changed because of Jen. And then when Jen died, it was the catalyst to have them change again.
Interesting.
So, she brought them for two times of change.
Wow. I guess there are those people that are change makers in our lives, and I mean, we've seen that play out in other entertainment shows. I'm wondering, you know, in terms of the entertainment piece, have you always sort of worked, so when you transitioned to Dawson's, did you, from that point on, work on entertainment-based interactive projects?
Yeah, I've worked on Dawson's Creek for 6 years, and then I transitioned when Dawson's ended to Spider-Man. So I run the Spider-Man community for Sony Pictures. So I did Spider-Man 1, 2, and 3, and soon 4. So you can go to spiderman.sonypictures.com and find out everything
cool.
There is. No. So that was my other obsession, too, with Spider-Man. So I've been really lucky here, and I've gotten to work on properties that I really cared about personally.
And what about... Yeah, that's always fun. And what about the gaming side?
There's not really. I mean, we've doing a few like ARGs and things for for 2012, which is kind of fun. But we're really not doing a whole lot of like online gaming. You know, we did the Resistance 2018 Terminator game, which was the first of its kind, and it was interesting to see once we launched that a bunch of other people did that kind of copied it and built their own and built them almost better. It was fun to watch it evolve.
Interesting. But. So, I mean, in terms of your role at Sony, how do you, and maybe even differences between the two, define interactive media?
That's hard.
Well, you know, and, I mean, you can talk about your everyday kind of, you know, what you do, because part of the reason I'm asking is, you know, I think of, you know, running message boards and, you know, the community interaction. We think of that, you know, kind of as a community manager role, but you've actually done a lot more in terms of, you know, building and other pieces. So I'd love to know kind of how you think of your role.
Yeah, I mean, I try and get involved when like a movie or a television show, when we're thinking about building the website and how we can build social media into that website, so the fans are interacting with the site, because I think a lot of times fans aren't going to like official movie sites anymore. They're interacting on like Facebook with the brand versus interacting with, you know, 5-6 years ago you interacted specifically on, you know, the official website. I think they may go there once now and then continue their interaction on Facebook or Twitter with the brand.
And I've noticed that in ads, the URL for movies has gotten consistently larger over the last couple of years, too. So it seems to match what you're saying, you know, in terms of the marketing emphasis.
Yeah, we'll push people towards, you know, Facebook.com/, you know, some movie title versus pushing them towards, you know, an interactive website. And so even if we have, like, on 2012, we've got a blog that you can go to, but we've also built that tab into Facebook. So if you don't know about that blog, you can actually read it in the Facebook tab.
So it becomes kind of platform agnostic.
Yeah.
So in terms of sort of, you know, how you get community members to interact with one another, with the brand or the property or the film, you know, whatever the elements are, what do you think of in terms of, you know, the things that have been kind of consistent or new trends in your space?
Well, new trends is everybody's hot on Twitter right now.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants the Twitter. So it's more about how I get the, you know, the Twitter users to know about a campaign or to know about what's, you know, like Boondock Saints. You know, do I go out and I follow everybody that mentions Boondock Saints so they know that my Twitter account exists, and then start talking to them, or how do I get them involved? And then we've recently started with like mommy bloggers, getting mommy bloggers involved in things, and having
that seems to be a consistent group that's targeted and also been really savvy about using their own kind of collective power to be able to, you know, make money if they want to, or, you know, make their presence known or felt a lot more than in the past.
Yeah, they've been around for years, and it's kind of nice to see people actually, you know, paying attention to them now, because, I mean, I've been a blogger for, you know, well over 10 years now, and it's nice to see that blogs are getting some attention.
So how much of your efforts are actually split among, you know, going to blog sites, going to forum sites, microblogging? Does it split out any particular way, kind of consistently across
properties?
Yeah,
it doesn't really split out any real way. It's, you know, it's just whatever property I'm working on at that moment. So,
and who's the real driver of, like, what the goals are as you start a project?
It depends. I mean, if film marketing would drive that, or, you know, home video or television, like somebody in the marketing department.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd say, you know, if we want to do this, and then I'd give them some direction, you know, social media-wise.
So in terms of, you know, your, you know, online tools that, you know, have come along that have made us more productive, and then there's the online tools that are kind of fun. What are your favorites? Because you've been online a long time.
I'm on everything. I am really hot on Foursquare right now. I love Foursquare.
Tell us why.
I think it's a really interesting, like, game. It lets me know, like, where all my friends are at that moment, or what they're doing, and, you know, I like the gaming element of earning badges, and I'd like to try these things out because I'd like to somehow work them into a film campaign or a television campaign at some point. You know, how can something like a Gowalla work into, like, a Spider-Man or, you know, a Seinfeld or something?
Uh-huh.
So, I feel like I've got to use these tools in order to be able to explain them to the decision makers.
Right. What other tools?
For
pleasure or productivity, either one.
Well, Foursquare is my huge one right now. I spend a lot of time on Twitter, probably too much time on Twitter because it's a giant chat room for me. and it's really how I get to know, you know, what's going on in the internet world now too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's the fun new video, or what's everybody talking about? And it kind of keeps me up to date on the social media world.
Got it. So it's like your primer on pop culture.
Pretty much.
Yeah, the trending topics, I don't think can deny that it's really a useful tool.
The trending topics doesn't really mean anything to me, because what's a trending topic right now, like at this moment, will be spam 5 minutes from now.
Yeah.
So it doesn't
mean
anything.
It's not like it's consistent.
Yeah.
I think it's when you get into your groups and you kind of see what people are talking about. But it's weird, though, the way that I noticed, you know, some trending topics that become international, let's say, you know, and then, you know, you realize that there's maybe more of a U.S. constituency around a particular topic area or sport that you didn't realize.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Portugal.
And that can be helpful.
Will be huge and you're like, what? Why is this big in Portugal?
Yeah. And then, you know, usually there's a reason, but sometimes there isn't. I think Twitter's getting better about telling us, you know, about different things. But I know, you know, Tweetsgiving, for example, is coming up, and I suddenly was like, I have to get involved in this. What is this? You know,
yeah.
And there had been people that I actually know really well who were trying to, you know, get their initiatives going or looking for sponsors already. And I was like, hey, you know, I'm holding out my hand. So that was a really great one for me where, you know, I just kept seeing it recur in my stream of people, you know, hashtagging it.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, I went to the 140 conference last week, and it was, you know, that was really good too, because you got to hear some amazing people talk about just about Twitter and, you know, confirming that you're using it correctly.
So this is like, I don't even know which number 140 conference this was.
I think that was number 2, because I think he had one in New York, and then he has the one in LA, and then he's got one in London coming up.
There was one in San Francisco also.
Oh, was there? Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they're creeping up all over, but I'm so curious to know what you found, or what your kind of key takeaways were from the conference in Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's interesting to have a conference just around Twitter. I mean, that's bizarre in itself. But it was really nice to, you know, like Slack mistress Nina did a really good talk about the characters that she's using for her her show Woke Up Dead, and how she deals with, you know, being on Twitter, being so many different people. And, you know, Cece Chapman did a really, like, enthusiastic talk, you know, about how to use Twitter and that. And it was nice, for me at least, to meet some of these people that I had talked to online but not necessarily met in person as well. So I think, you know, social media is great for you know, the online time, but I think it's even better for, you know, being able to meet someone face-to-face then and having something to talk about right away. Versus you're being at a, you're being somewhere and you're like, I don't know what to say to them, you know, and you can go up to them like, oh my God, how are your kids? I saw their photos. They're so big now. You know, you can talk to them now as a real person.
Yeah. Which actually brings up kind of an interesting other side to Twitter and social networking. Being online for so long, and, you know, I kind of share that with you. I think each of us can say easily we've been doing this for more than a decade online, working in some aspect of at least of internet properties, you know, and people are asking me now, and my answer is almost patently there is no separation, but I'm curious what your answer is to the, you know, or if you had to think about that separation between personal and private.
Oh yeah. I think on a daily basis, whenever I tweet, I'm like, do I tell people where I am right now? Do I check in on Foursquare where I am right now, or do I check in after I've left? Do I say that I've gone on a date? Do I not say? Do I talk? You know, you kind of have to, I have to think about what I want to say, like, about me personally, and then I also have to think about what do I want to say that, like, what can I say job related, you know? Because there's certain things that I just can't talk about that have happened.
That's a big one. You know,
I can say that, like, you know, I saw Tobey Maguire at the cafeteria, but I can't tweet about any conversation that I overheard him having, or somebody, you know, that somebody had, or what have you, or, you know, a meeting that we've gone to here or something that you want to, but you can't. So you really have to edit yourself.
You've got a job where you probably have to edit yourself more than most people.
Yeah.
In that sense. Go ahead.
I've got my personal account, my personal Twitter account, but then I've got, you know, other characters that we're Twittering for, or we're updating their Facebook status for, or whatever, and you know, you kind of have to be careful.
Absolutely. So how do you, you know, what do you, in terms of managing multiple Twitter accounts and other social media properties, multiple Facebook pages, you know, is there anything that you've found that's come along that's been like, wow, this is so helpful?
No.
I think we're all kind of waiting for that.
I would love something where I could manage all of my social media stuff in one box, you know, one space. Because, yeah, there's stuff there that'll help me manage all my multiple, you know, Facebook accounts and that, but it's basically just pushing content out to those people, and I want something where I can...
The two-way.
I can see the comments that people have and things like that, because it's not... I don't want to just talk to people. I want to talk with people. I want to answer their questions. If they make a comment on a photo, I want to be able to comment back to them, and I can't see that in any of the tools that I've seen.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. You know, I think that's the hard thing about, you know, some of the tools that feed into Twitter. And I wonder if you use those, or if you do
I tried using, like, Ping FM and things like that, and it's so hard because, again, it's one-sided.
Yeah. So in terms of, you know, so if Twitter is the main way that you're kind of going, you know, going through either different personas or different, you know, or your own account, what are you using? I mean, are you using the web-based, or are you using a particular application? What's become the closest to being helpful for you?
I think it depends upon where I am. If I'm in front of my computer, I have TweetDeck open, you know, all the time. But, you know, if I'm away, I've got Tweety on my iPhone, and, you know, people joke that I'm constantly on my phone, but I'm not using it as a phone. I'm using it, you know, for social media. And that's specifically
right.
why I bought the iPhone versus like a BlackBerry or whatever, because it made it really easy for me to do my job.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm constantly like online. I'm always online.
Well, yeah, when you carry your phone around with you all the time, that basically does make you online. Are you one of those people, though, that leaves your – because I have this conversation with so many friends of mine that where they leave their phone on to either vibrate or where they can actually see messages coming in all night, or do you
yeah,
have
no,
a
I'm,
point
I'm,
where
– I am that person.
You are. I don't know how it hasn't driven you crazy yet.
I you know what, I love it so much that it doesn't drive me crazy, because it's part of who I am. I mean, I love
yeah.
being online, and I love talking to people online, so it doesn't drive me crazy. In fact, my friends start to worry if I'm not online. Like, you know, I'll go home to Alaska, and the cell phone connection or the internet connection is really bad where I'm from, and I start to get emails from them going, "Are you okay? What's going on? I don't see you online." So, you know, they expect me to be online as well.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely that two-sided expectation. And I wonder, too, you know, there's the Wear 2.0 conferences that O'Reilly does, you
mm-hmm.
know, and obviously mobile technology being so GPS-based these days.
Yeah, I love that.
Not only a trend, but it's gone mainstream now, especially with Google Latitude. And
mm-hmm.
and I, you know, actually wonder about people signing up from, say, a BlackBerry where you can't really see what it actually is sharing, and people
yeah,
may not realize.
I don't think that until it's on everybody's phone, it's not really going to take off as much as I personally would like. But I think that there's going to have to be some way for people that don't want to share where they are to turn that off.
Yeah, or make different levels. What I find kind of frustrating is I love some of the features on Doppler, say BrightKite or
mm-hmm.
Google Latitude. Google Latitude's the easiest one for me to use most consistently. I mean, I like the way they sort of separate things out the best.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't connect to each other. They're
yeah.
very siloed, I find.
Yeah, and that's
yet
a lot
my
of
connection's
stuff.
The same. You know, where I am is the same.
I mean, that's a lot of the stuff, you know, mobile-wise that we're using right now, or even online, everything's not connected to each other.
Right.
And it'd be really nice if it was connected to each other. Like, if I check in somewhere on Foursquare, it'd be nice that if it checked in on Gowalla or one of these other geolocation places as well.
Right.
You know, so I didn't have to go. I stood outside the Paley Center last night going, okay, now I'm checking in Gowalla. Okay, now I'm checking in on Foursquare. Okay, now I'm Twittering. Okay, now I'm creating a world story. Like,
yeah.
I wish there was some way to tie that all into one tool.
I'm sure somebody is working on it.
I really hope so.
Otherwise, this is a formal product request.
Yes. I'm the person that, you know, eventually wants the computer hooked up to my brain, though.
I wonder if it'll go that way. Every time they put the BlackBerry or put the Bluetooth headset in my ear,
yeah.
think about it. We're not that far away from it, really.
Yeah. I'll be the first one to sign up once they've got it perfected.
As long as they don't transmit what's going on out.
But sometimes you write a blog post and you're like, oh man, and by the time you go to write it down or type it out, it's gone. And it'd be so nice if you could just record it. And I know I'm weird, but
no, and that brings up voice technology. Is there any, you know, I know Google Voice and the latest rev of their mobile release was definitely integrated more, is a little bit more robust. Do you use those features?
Not really. I mean, I have Evernote that I'll record like notes
yep.
and things to myself a lot of the times, and I love that because then it goes right to my Evernote page online.
Mm-hmm.
So or my email, and so it's right there when I get back to my desk.
Uh huh.
So that makes some things easier.
And what about, like, you know, what I find kind of frustrating about some of the services is, you know, with a lot of my – one of the things I'm noticing among some of my friends in the social media realm is, you know, using a lot of services that translate voice to text,
mm-hmm.
You know, instead of taking all calls at a particular time if they're on deadline for a project, they just do everything through – text, see what someone needs, and then determine whether they're going to have a phone conversation about it or email them back and say I'm on deadline or, you know, things like that. But yet, it seems like if we capture things in voice, it's hard to transcribe them out,
yeah,
you know, very accurately. So I find myself watching things like, you know, what Ribbit is doing and what Umail is doing and wondering if they're, you know, those applications might broaden. Are you looking at any applications like that and going, God, it does this really well. I wish it would, you know, also be able to work in this way.
Not so much for any of our properties or really for myself. I don't, no.
We kind of covered that part.
Yeah.
Wondering about gadgeting, because it's so related to, you know, we talked about the iPhone and basically mobile in general and, you know, the choices among phones and that sort of thing. And some people think of that as being gadgety, but I think, you know, there's obviously a lot more that goes into the whole gadget realm. And I'm just curious, you know, if you're into different gadgets and what they might be.
Yeah, other than mobile phone, I mean, that's my main, like, gadgety thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do love my Wii. I do love my PlayStation. but, you know, a lot of my stuff is the phone, because I think that that's going to be people's personal computers that they're going to carry around.
Yeah.
You know, you're not, your desktop or your laptop isn't going to be maybe your main computer. You may not even have that. You may just have your phone, and that's where you're going to get all your information at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm trying to think about things that, you know, will port over easily to the phone.
And, you know, speaking of the phone, you know, when working on interactive projects, a lot of times, you know, I would think measurement is a big piece of you know,
yeah,
what you do, making sure that you've got the right tracking and stuff. What do you,
that's
you know,
the
what's
hardest,
your...
That's the hardest thing possible. I mean, like, you know, I can't really track what people are doing on their mobile phones. I can't, even on Facebook.
I was just going to say, in mobile, it seems so lacking.
Yeah, but even social networking-wise, I can't track stuff. Like, I can't track, I can see how many people, like, retweeted something on Twitter, but I can't really, like, unless I'm sitting there, like, counting the numbers, I can't really, like, measure that, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, how many people even saw it. So if I tweeted something out, even if they didn't retweet it, how many people actually saw that? I have no idea. It's like a billboard you're driving by. You don't know how many
right.
people on a daily basis drove by a billboard. Or even, like, Facebook. I don't know, like, I know I can put tracking on a tab that, like, we've created for a movie property, but you know, I don't know how many people clicked on a video or how many people clicked on a photo. You know, only way I know is if they've interacted by leaving a comment.
Mm-hmm.
There's no tracking on this stuff.
So what about, and that, you know, I mean, you're at Sony. So, I mean, I would assume you have some pretty robust analytic tools.
Yeah, we've got Omniture tracking.
Know.
So it's, you know,
mm-hmm.
but even then, it's, I still can't track this stuff because they're, you know, it doesn't work with social media yet.
Mm-hmm. What do you feel is the breakdown? You know, where is it breaking down? Why isn't it there? Because if it's not there for the web, it's certainly not going to be there for the phone. And that's,
yeah,
you know, that's the worry that I have as someone who is such an analytics geek. You know, I love analytics. I think that, you know, Adobe's purchase of Omniture is going to be huge for whether Flash or Silverlight become, you know, or what that means. I think the mm-hmm. biggest impact is to Silverlight. I think a lot of people have not really written about that, but it's there. But, you know, in terms of, you know, what Omniture can do, I mean, it can tell you, you know, tracking links out, you know, so maybe the top social network that people are going to from an exit link point of view.
Yeah, and, you know, we put like, you know, we have a share bar on most of our stuff now, so, you know, you can share our stuff on Twitter or Facebook or, you know, MySpace or any social network you're on or Digit or what have you. And I have tracking on those, so I know that they've used it. Like, I can put tracking to where they've pointed out to, but once they're on that social network, I can't track. I've lost the ability to track what they're doing.
Yeah, there's, like, not that follow-through. So
yeah, and it's almost,
you know,
it's almost on something like a Facebook or a Twitter to build tracking into their things and giving me access. Like Facebook's Insights tab for if you're, you know, an admin of a page is beautiful, but it's also lacking a little bit. And
yeah,
Twitter has no tracking whatsoever. And, you know, I would actually pay to have to get some of that insight tracking.
And who knows if they're working on that.
Yeah.
That's the other piece, too, is how these properties are going to monetize over time.
Yeah.
You know, and the big question mark around, you know, the questions that are continually coming up like these.
Yeah. I mean, I've been on Twitter since, like, 2006, 2007. And in just in the last year, we've started to use it on all our campaigns, and it's become hot. And, you know, what's the next big hot thing that people are going to start using? You know, Twitter
what
be
do
bought
you predict?
Up. Yeah, what will Twitter be bought up by a Microsoft or Facebook, or, you know, what's the next thing? And that's why I look at things like the geolocation things, because I think that that's going to be when that gets built into like a BlackBerry or whatever, you know, that's going to be where things are going.
I mean, when you start seeing conferences like Where 2.0, I mean, to me, if any big company, or not a big company, but a company that's very, you know, social media aware or social media driven, like O'Reilly, mm-hmm. decides to do a conference about something like Where 2.0, you know, your radar kind of goes up. What are other things that are kind of on your radar? In terms of either conferences or trends, you know, we're getting towards the end of year and, you know, kind of that idea of what you might even predict for next year, for 2010.
Oh, I have no idea.
you're following.
Yeah, I'm doing a lot of listening. I don't really get to go to a lot of conferences and things anymore, but, you know, like I'd love to go to South by Southwest Interactive. Because I feel like that's where everybody reveals the next big thing.
Well, that's definitely where Twitter did its, you know, got its biggest jump.
Yeah, and so did Foursquare and Gowalla and some of these other other tools. And so even though I don't get to go, it's great because I have Twitter now that I can, like, pay attention. I can feel like I'm there, even though I'm not.
Mm-hmm. And what other conferences have you done that with, you think? Because, I mean, your time is really valuable, right?
Yeah, it's hard.
You know, so it's like we're, you know, it's part of what I think is really interesting is whatever you choose to spend your time on is something that I think is interesting to folks that, you know, are looking at the interactive space.
Yeah.
Or should be.
I mean, I tend to go to a lot of stuff just here in L.A., like the Digital L.A. events or the Women in Tech events that happen here in L.A., because then I get to meet mm-hmm. other people. And, you know, hear what they're talking about. I don't necessarily tend to, like, travel to other places for conferences. I mean,
it's hard to leave work anyway.
Yeah, it's hard. But, like, you know, Gnomedex will broadcast their conference live, and that's great because then I can feel like I'm sitting in a chair in the back row or something.
So, you know, you mentioned, you know, other women and networking with them, and I'm wondering what it's like or what your take would be on what it's like to be a woman working in a space that's often defined kind of rightly or wrongly as largely male, you know, the web, internet, you know, web devs, you know, analytics, all these elements.
Yeah, it's an interesting space because I think the guys get a lot more attention. And then if you're, unfortunately, if you're like a skinny, beautiful girl, you're going to get a lot more attention as well. But I feel like the women that are actually doing the work don't get a whole lot of attention. And I'm not really sure why that is. You know, when I was on a Digital LA panel not long ago about Twitter and entertainment, it was all women. I mean, there were different women. There was a woman from Lionsgate, from Universal, and from NBC. And it was weird that, I mean, somebody made the comment, there are no guys on this panel. It was, you know, but it was great to see that, you know, they've given social media to the people that, you know, because I think women are more likely to, like, communicate better. You know, we like mm-hmm. to talk. And, we like to talk with other people.
Yeah, definitely very social.
Yeah.
But, you know, I find that, you know, I think something you said earlier kind of ties in with this, that it's, you know, like you said, you know, it's women it's really not women focused unless you're skinny and really cute, or it's not women unless you're a mommy blogger, or it's not women unless, so there's sort of a caveat for certain groups, but overall, it's sort of seen as a more male group unless you fall into one of the exception groups.
Yeah, I think that's totally it right there.
Yeah, and you know,
it's unfortunate.
And I you know, what I wonder is what we lose as women who've done this a long time by, you know, is it more important to network face-to-face? Is it that, you know, I mean, one of my big frustrations is I can get male CEOs on this show without, it seems like a lot more easily than, and there are fewer women CEOs, so maybe this is the issue. But when I ask women CEOs to be on, they have their PA say, oh, here are the 7 zillion VPs of whatever departments that are better for you to talk to. And they're all male. And I'm trying to get, you know, a mix of different levels, of different perspectives. And, you know, it's almost like shooting other women in the foot, you know, because it's what is your path to success? What was your journey? You know, where did you start?
Because I think we're more accommodating towards, you know, maybe you don't want me, maybe you want my boss, or maybe you want somebody better that I perceive as better than me. You know, versus a guy's ego is like, you want
me. And I hope a CEO doesn't think that way. They're probably not a very good CEO. But, yeah, it's, you know, it's definitely a frustration, I think, for me, because I think, you know, just in general, there's, you know, in terms of networking groups, there aren't that many, they're really, except for Girls in Tech and Web Girls International, there really aren't any, you know, web groups for women in the area.
No.
And I'm in San Francisco, so that's,
yeah, they should be all up by you.
Yeah, you would think. But, I mean, you know, certainly with the entertainment base, it cracks me up because sometimes, you know, I'll hear people say, oh, I went down to interview Brooke Burke about something related to Twitter, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, how many experts do we have, like, in the Valley or elsewhere in the Bay Area that could also attract a certain level of attention? But, again, there's that beautiful woman model-esque, she's a mom, you know, she falls into a couple of those categories we mentioned. So, yeah, maybe that's something else to put a call out about, that, you know, we need to collectively figure out how to connect more. I know that there are some, you know, fairly high-profile women's organizations that have come to me and said, how do we make our internal networking better? But they want to keep it internal. They don't want it to sort of be exposed to more people. And, you know, we go through that painful conversation of, you know, well, if you make this too closed, or if you don't make a level of it engaging for everyone, then you're not, one, going to get people to see the value and join your group, but you're also not going to be seen as very forward-thinking either.
Yeah.
So there's that kind of catch-22. But kind of getting away from the gender piece, I'm wondering what industries you've seen change the most that are, you know, that you've, you know, as you, you know, work, you know, in partnership with or in conjunction to, or even that you've seen friends that also work in the interactive space work at and change. What have you seen change most over the last 10 years, do you think, in the space you work in?
The entertainment space?
Yeah, the entertainment / interactive entertainment space.
Yeah, I mean, I think just websites in general are changing. You know, we're still building these big, huge, immersive sites, but, you know, we're getting more, you know, we're pushing them out to other social networks, but then we're also getting, you know, the producers of a film or the actors of a film or so forth involved in the social media, which is kind of nice. Because before it was like, you know, when I used to work in the music industry, I would send a band out on the road with a, you know, a huge digital camera that would take like a postage stamp size picture, you know, whatever. And they take some photos, we'll do a blog. And why do I want to do this? Why do I care? And now it's, like, okay, I've got these great photos. Can I, you know, let me send you some stuff. Like we had Boondock Saints 2, and the cast members, you know, were taking photos at the panels that they were doing and sending them to us to Twitter out. And you know, they're involved on Twitter, and they're doing things on these social networking spaces now, which is, you know, fabulous, because we never got that before. We never got any kind of interaction with them before, and I think it's great for the fans too, because they feel like they can be part of the film. Even if the film's already done and in the can and released or going to be released, they still feel like they're part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
yeah, I mean that's you know, the interactive, you know, it's all kind of the interactive piece of what you do,
mm-hmm.
is, you know, and the question I guess that I think a lot of people would probably share is, you know, how do you know kind of where to start with each of the properties and the kinds of communities? Do you have to make assumptions out the gate, or is there any way for you to do kind of a key influencer sweep, or do you do that to figure out, you know, what you think is going to motivate the community and trigger action?
And we will sit down and do a brainstorm and hopefully somebody who is in that brainstorm is a fan of that property, or somebody in the film or television show.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll help, like, you know, if they're a fan, what do they want to see? Well, and what would make you a fan? And we kind of go from there.
Has there ever been a time where it's been kind of awkward where maybe the talent, and maybe you can't answer this question, but, you know, just over the last 10 years, so, you know, pick an example from any particular point in time, where you've seen talent have a sense for maybe their character and who the target audience is, but you know, based on conversations with the community, that's off, and you've had to make decisions that has either compromised your ability to kind of interact or change the dynamic of the community in a way that you wouldn't have recommended?
I don't think so, because I think we didn't really have the access to those people until recently either. You know?
Ah, okay.
So
That's actually really interesting. So kind of, you know, in the early days, I guess, and that's so true even, you know, and for me in TV news, you know, they certainly weren't on, you know, Twitter, they weren't on Facebook.
I mean,
those things didn't exist, but they weren't, you know, They weren't blogging either.
Yeah, they weren't. And, you know, it was funny because I was talking to Paul Steuben last night on Dawson's Creek, and he was one
mm-hmm.
of the executive producers. And he and I used to talk on a daily basis because we did Dawson's Desktop, which was I wished that, you know, the show was on today so that I could do a whole social networking element of the show.
Yeah.
But we used to have this thing called Dawson's Desktop, and every day Dawson would have a new diary entry, and you could read his IMs and read his emails and things like that. So we talked every day about, like, what, you know, what was going to happen with the show, what we could write about and what we couldn't write about, and we'd have it all scripted out that he would approve, and things like that. So I had that access to him, but it would have
mm-hmm.
been nice to, like, have access to, like, all the writers and that, and get their input as well.
Wow, how that could have changed things, huh?
Yeah, because, you know, you had things where you were changing things at the last minute because somebody changed a story, you know, as they were filming.
Very interesting. So, you know, in terms of, you know, what you watch on the entertainment side of things, is there anything, or just kind of generally in the entertainment space, is there anything you feel like, you know, and unrelated to Sony, a property that you think isn't maybe, that is ripe, you would love to work on for social media, if you can even say, you know, where they're not, you know? I mean, there's some examples I can think of.
I mean, I would love to work on a television show again, like a full-time television show, like something like a V or a Flash Forward or even a Fringe, that you can do a
mm-hmm.
whole, like, ARG and build all these sites around
mm-hmm.
and, you know, a whole online element, too, because I think, you know, people try and do it, and Lost has done a really good job with it,
mm-hmm.
but I think it's sort of been lacking in the last year with shows.
So do you follow Mad Men?
I don't really. I should. I love the stuff they've done online. Like, I love that, you know, people turn their avatars into, you know, different Mad Men, and I love that they've really gotten people involved.
Yeah, the whole Twitter thing about, you know, fishnet stockings or, you know, a run in the hose and, you know, stuff.
Yeah.
People don't wear pantyhose anymore, do they? things like that. But But, you know, one thing that I noticed that they did, and I'm a huge Mad Men lover, and I have, you know, great love for the show, especially because it's on AMC and would probably get a lot more love if it were on an HBO or something like that. I think they've done a great job with the site. But one thing I always wonder about, and I think this is a delicate balance that you may have a particularly informed opinion about, but I guess they must have – I am not a huge Oprah follower. I love Oprah. She's great. I think I even get her magazine. But, you know, and you know, certainly she has her finger on the pulse of a lot of things. But when – I guess the at least the two stars of Mad Men, the Don and Betty characters, were on Oprah, and they did, you know. So when I went to look at the video for Matthew Weiner, who's the, you know, the creative brain behind it all, does these great in-depth discussions of the episodes afterwards that I have to see. So I'm absolutely addicted to. So I go to the site, see the page, and it's "Welcome, Oprah fans." And it had a bigger, you know, header and different, the middle space. So it was great for those that maybe were being introduced. But for me, it was like, okay, well, where's my stuff? I can't find my stuff, you know. It's, you moved
put
it
off
around.
Your core fans then.
Yeah, so, like, you know, how do you strike that, you know, have you had to strike that balance before where, you know there's going to be some high profile?
It's more of a marketing decision than us. I mean, we can try and talk them out of it, but something like an Oprah, they're going to, you know, they're obviously going to get a whole new audience and hope that the fans that they've already had will come back at a later date.
I still found my video, I have to say it. I still watch Mad Men. It didn't keep me, but it did irk me, I guess. And,
yeah.
I, you know, one of the things, you know, is do you cry out about that? And I, you know, I have to say on certain, you know, certain shows, certain issues, I don't want to complain because I feel like I'm lucky to have it because it's on AMC. You know,
yeah.
Like I hate the way they do the commercial breaks, and I will wait a day to watch it sometimes just to watch the HD version on demand because the breaks are so jarring for commercials.
But if you don't complain, then they don't know either. You know, and I think.
But do they pull the show? You know, it's that's the trade-off, right? I'd rather have it on air. Period.
Yeah.
You know, it's that. You know, who thinks that deeply? Yeah, they do the ads in a special way. I did learn some things about, I know my husband and I were talking about the Expedia, you know, little bit they had about how they've used the .com little thing at the end, which I just sung really badly. my friend and I were talking about that, and then I said, you know what? My husband and I were just talking about this because of the little interstitial that they had in the ad break about how they've used that jingle every single commercial they've done since 1999.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, obviously it's going to be ingrained in all of our
yeah.
collective brains and consciousnesses. But before I leave you, so we don't have that much time left, I wanted to get your, you know, this the kind of work you do, you know, and I said this in my blog post about you coming on, is like, wow, wouldn't it be cool to be Anne? You know, it's the kind of work, you know, I know it probably doesn't feel so cool to be you some days, but it seems like really cool work, and especially when you talk about your Dawson's experience and Spider-Man, being a fan of something and being able to go really deep is very cool,
yeah,
very
I
alluring.
I love my job. Love my job. I love coming into work every day. I get to work on – I'm really lucky because I get to work on some really cool movie properties. Like we had Michael Jackson's This Is It movie, and I got to work on that.
Wow.
Even if it's, you know, something not – you know, it may not seem as cool to somebody else. It's cool to me because I get to talk to people about it.
Right.
And I get to interact with people, and I think that's the whole joy in my job is interacting with people.
So what is your advice for people that either are coming up or are, you know, changing jobs and would love to have a role in interactive? What's your advice?
I would just say, you know, use the tools. Because, you know, especially when we interview people and they can't tell me what their favorite website is, that's really hard. You know, I would say be online and just, you know, use stuff.
Use things.
Yeah. I mean, because you find people that don't use, that just don't use anything. They don't use their phone to text or to, they don't use, you know, especially if you're going to do social media, you need to use social media. And you find people that just don't use it, that are doing these things, and it's a little frustrating.
So
I would just, I would say whatever you're going to do, have a passion for what you do. Because, like, you know, I truly love my job, and I think that that shows wherever you're going.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What would be your answer? So this is sort of a quandary I've been in before, where you interview young people and they tell you, you know, oh, well, I've been brought up around social media. So I just, you know, so basically they know how to use it, but they may not have the passion that always is the worry, right? So I'd rather hire someone who maybe didn't grow up with it, has become passionate about it. Maybe for me, passion is more of a driver. But, you know, what would you say to young people about, you know, kind of the interview process and not coming across as sort of just passive about their interest in social media?
I think that everybody is passionate about something, you know. So if you want a job in social media and say, you know, you love snowboarding, well, you're passionate about snowboarding then. How do you use social media, you know, to tell people that you're passionate about snowboarding? You know, give me an example of how you would tweet something out or communicate with somebody, you know, through, like, what would a Facebook status update or something like that.
Very cool.
Inside
the mind of Anne Glenn. And I want to thank you so much for being a part of the A-List podcast.
Well, thank you.
I really appreciate you making the time to come on and honoring the commitment to be here. I really, really appreciate it. Everybody check out. So do any shout-outs to any websites that people should check out?
I would go on Twitter, at Sony Pictures.
Sony Pictures, so twitter.com/Sony Pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool, and we'll check out your work there. Thanks, Anne Glenn.
Thank you so much.
I'll let you go so you can get on with your day. And I want to thank everyone who's tuned in to The A-List with me, Jennifer Lindsay, and today, Anne Glenn. We hope you've enjoyed the program. If so, we'd love it if you'd be so kind as to friend us or add us to your favorites here on Blog Talk Radio. Be sure to tune in next week when we're back to our regular schedule. That's Friday, November 13th at 12 noon Pacific. We want to hear from you, so please start tweeting in or Facebooking questions at any time to my Twitter handle or Facebook page, which are linked from our Blog Talk Radio page. As always, you can keep up with the latest on this show, archives, and free informational webcasts, etc. at jenniferlindsay.com. Thanks so much, everyone.